Bellatrix hit him across the face. The blow echoed around the room.
"If she dies under questioning, I'll take you next," she said. "Blood traitor is next to mudblood in my book. Take them downstairs, Greyback, and make sure they are secure, but do nothing more to them yet."
She threw Greyback's wand back to him, then took a short silver knife from under her robes. She cut Hermione free from the other prisoners, then dragged her by the hair into the middle of the room, while Greyback forced the rest of them to shuffle across to another door, into a dark passageway, his wand held out in front of him, projecting an invisible and irresistible force.
"Reckon she'll let me have a bit of the girl when she's finished with her,"
Greyback crooned as he forced them along the corridor.
"I'd say I'll get a bite or two. Wouldn't you, Ginger?"
Harry could feel Ron shaking. They were forced down a steep flight of stairs, still tied back to back and in danger of slipping and breaking their necks at any moment. At the bottom was a heavy door. Greyback unlocked it with a tap of his wand, then forced them into a dank and musty room and left them in total darkness. The echoing bang of the slammed cellar door had not died away before there was a terrible, drawn-out scream from directly above them.
"Hermione!"
Ron bellowed, and he started to writhe and struggle against the ropes, tying them together, so that Harry staggered.
"Hermione! Be quiet!" Harry said.
"Shut up, Ron!
We need to work out a way.
Hermione! Hermione!
We need a plan! Stop yelling! We need to get these ropes off!"
"Harry?" came a whisper through the darkness. "Ron? Is that you?"
Ron stopped shouting. There was a sound of movement close by them. Then Harry saw a shadow moving closer.
"Harry? Ron?
Luna?
Yes, it's me. Oh no, I didn't want you to be caught.
Luna, can you help us get these ropes off?" said Harry.
"Oh yes, I expect so. There's an old nail we use if we need to break anything. Just a moment."
Hermione screamed again from overhead, and they could hear Bellatrix screaming too, but her words were inaudible, for Ron shouted again,
"Hermione! Hermione!"
"Mr. Ollivander," Harry could hear Luna saying, "Mr. Ollivander, have you got the nail? If you just move over a little bit, I think it was beside the water jug."
She was back within seconds.
"You need to stay still," she said.
Harry could feel her digging at the rope's tough fibres to work the knots free. From upstairs, they heard Bellatrix's voice.
"I'm going to ask you again. Where did you get this sword? Where?"
"We found it. We found it. Please!"
Hermione screamed again. Ron struggled harder than ever, and the rusty nail slipped onto Harry's wrist.
"Ron, please stay still," Luna whispered. "I can't see what I'm doing."
"My pocket," said Ron. "In my pocket, there's a deluminator, and it's full of light."
A few seconds later, there was a click, and the luminescent spheres the deluminator had sucked from the lamps in the tent flew into the cellar. Unable to rejoin their sources, they simply hung there like tiny suns, flooding the underground room with light. Harry saw Luna, all eyes in her white face, and the motionless figure of Ollivander the Wandmaker, curled up on the floor in the corner. Craning around, he caught sight of their fellow prisoners. Dean and Griphook the Goblin, who seemed barely conscious, kept standing by the ropes that bound him to the humans.
"Oh, that's much easier, thanks, Ron," said Luna, and she began hacking at their bindings again. "Hello, Dean."
From above came Bellatrix's voice.
"You are lying, filthy mudblood, and I know it. You have been inside my vault at Gringotts. Tell the truth! Tell the truth!"
Another terrible scream.
"Hermione, what else did you take? What else have you got? Tell me the truth or I swear I shall run you through with this knife."
"There."
Harry felt the ropes fall away and turned, rubbing his wrists, to see Ron running around the cellar, looking up at the low ceiling, searching for a trapdoor. Dean, his face bruised and bloody, said,
"Thanks,"
to Luna, and stood there shivering. But Griphook sank onto the cellar floor, looking groggy and disoriented, many welts across his swarthy face.